Minnesota Reads, we have been having a ball all summer long. We've been bringing you books about the Northland, from the Northland, and by Northland authors. The Northeastern Minnesota Book Awards, NEMBA, were established in 1988 to recognize books that, quote, substantially represent Northeastern Minnesota in the areas of history, culture, heritage, or lifestyle. And we're happy to wrap up our NEMBA series this morning with a book by a lady whose name will be familiar to you, and the topic of her book, the subplot of her book, something also that we've talked about quite a bit here on Northland Morning. Marie Zwickoff, her book Plover Landing was nominated for a NEMBA award in the fiction category, and Marie's in her studios where she hasn't been for way too long. Marie, it was good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Nice to have you. And I said that you were working for Sea Grant the last time you talked, and you said, yeah, now I'm just working for Wisconsin Sea Grant.
Yeah, originally I was with Minnesota Sea Grant, and now I'm across the bridge with Wisconsin.
You have kept yourself busy in the intervening years.
I've tried to.
You certainly have. Wow. Now, the other thing that we need to mention about this book before we go too far is that this is actually a sequel to the first book in the series, and that one was called what?
It's called Eye of the Wolf.
Okay.
And it was set on Isle Royale, and it couldn't be part of the NEMBA because it's in Michigan, technically.
See?
So yeah. I got smarter this time.
There you go. But that also had to do with the endangered population of moose and wolves that we've heard talked about so often at Isle Royale. So you've really honed in on some of these environmental topics, which only makes sense for you. Your background is pretty much evenly divided between science and writing.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Is that weird? That seems like a right brain, left brain crossover thing.
You know, I try to keep balanced. You know, the fiction writing allows me creativity, but I like science. I'm not afraid of science, but I like to have fun with it, too, in my novels. And my publisher calls my writing like eco-mystic romances. So they're
we're going to be talking about that a little bit, because
okay,
that was a phrase that I simply could not avoid. And so I want to ask you a little bit more about that, too. One of the things that I thought was really interesting is that in the endorsement on the back of the book, Don Ness called the book a story of the passion, frustration, and the importance of local activism. Was the activism piece in this book just something that emerged organically from telling the story, or was it something that you deliberately said, this I want to make sure I write about?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, I have some activism in my background. You know, I've always been interested in the environment and environmental causes. But I, in addition to trying to highlight, you know, endangered species in my novel and kind of get people to understand their plight, I also put a little bit in there about climate change, which is an important thing to me.
Now, the book is set in 1995, and that's kind of interesting because another person who endorsed the book, and she is apparently a poet too, is Chris Eilers, and she's the Piping Plover Project Coordinator with the St. Louis River Alliance, and we've had her as a guest on the show talking about the efforts to restore habitat, and those have kind of shifted into high gear, and yet you set the book 10 years previous. What was that about?
It just seemed to make sense for the place, the main character, her name is Melora, the place she was in her life, to set it that far ahead.
Okay. You do describe, or you say that you write, and I didn't write, or North Star Press says you write, quote, eco-mystic romance novels for new adults. There was a lot to parse for me in that phrase. What is an eco-mystic romance?
It's a novel that combines ecology. So, you know, I've got the endangered species in there and habitat restoration and that kind of thing. The mysticism is Native American myths. I try to work those into my novels and play off that. And, of course, there's romance. There's kissing in this book. There's kissing.
Marie. Now, if I recollect correctly, and you'll have to forgive me if I'm getting fuzzy, you've got a son?
I have two sons.
You have children.
I do.
What happens when they read this, that their mother knows about kissing? I mean, everybody knows mothers don't kiss.
Well, my youngest son, I'm not encouraging him to read it. He's only 15, but my older son, he thought it was okay. What I was really worried about was my parents reading it.
Because, of course, parents will extrapolate from the book, and parents may or may not assume that everything that the lead character is doing is right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other part of this phrase that I liked was new adults. Now, is a new adult related to chronological age at all?
Yeah. Yeah. So new adults are 18 to mid-20s, whereas young adults can be like 13, more like young teenagers and up. And I didn't really feel like it was appropriate for, people younger than 18.
So if I suddenly matured and became responsible and in that sense became a new adult, you're still not really writing it for me at my advanced age. I just thought new adults. I mean, people change. People grow up every day. Some of us, it just takes a lot longer.
But even old adults like it, though, too.
Yeah.
So I've had people, in their 80s read it and talk to me about it. So
tell me what's next. You said you just got back from a scouting trip. Tell me what's next for you.
I'd like to set either... If I do, make this a trilogy and do another book in this series, I'd like to set it in the Apostle Islands, because that just seems to make sense. I'm kind of going around the lake, Plover Landing set in Duluth. Or if I do a story, I've been writing some short stories, like paranormal, kind of nature-y short stories. So, yeah, but I don't know the Apostle Islands as well as I know Duluth and Isle Royale. So, yeah, I've had to go there for research. It's such a hardship.
It is really tough to be an author. It's not for sissies, is it?
No, it's not.
So let me just ask you, with your science hat on, if you were going to set a third novel in the Apostle Islands, what endangered species haven't we covered?
Well, I just got back from there a day and a half ago, and I learned about the pine marten is an endangered species. Now, I don't know exactly what I could do with the pine marten, but they're awfully cute, and they are furry.
They're like a very large weasel. If you kind of want an idea what they look like, they look like a weasel on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're not particularly friendly, but they really are
secretive.
Striking looking.
Yeah.
Cream underbelly, if I'm remembering correctly, and a beautiful kind of glossy brown. And
mm-hmm. They got a little red patch in their neck area.
Okay.
They're kind of like a fox-like, or like a cat-like fox, sort of. Not as red as a fox, but...
Okay.
Yeah. They're really cute, though.
Okay.
Could maybe do something with that.
There's
I'm thinking
be.
About it.
There's always something you can do with cuteness.
Yes.
I don't know. Otherwise, I think, write a story about a science writer who's a novelist and these kind of eco-mystic things and romance happen to her.
That.
I think there's potential there.
That might be too close to home.
Then your parents would really wonder.
Yeah.
Marie, thanks so much for coming in this mm-hmm. morning. It was so great to talk to you, and congratulations on your NEMBA nomination for your book, Plover Landing. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Marie Zwickoff, the author of Plover Landing, and that was nominated for a NEMBA award in the fiction category this year. All this summer, we've been bringing you books about the Northland from the Northland by NEMBA Award winners and nominees. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.